I'm thankful that I finally made it. I feel somewhat conspicuous for not being able to be here at the start of the service. That's my intent, the way I operate. But I feel like I have a message this morning that's burning on my heart that I'd like to share with you. I have a little story I want to tell you. And I have 3 points I'd like to make this morning with the help of the Lord. I begin not with either one of those, but I would like to begin with a little bit of my daily routine, some of the things that's commonplace or fundamental with my occupation, and that is being able to check the fluid levels on pieces of machinery, automobiles, trucks and cars specifically. And as a side note, some of you have probably drove your vehicles here and maybe you haven't even started them for a week. I'd just make a recommendation that you check your fluid levels before you head off for home. Check your air pressure and your tires. You have less breakdowns when you do those kind of things. I was raised that way. It's not something I've developed. My father taught me those things. Consequently, we didn't hardly ever have a problem on the road. Dad was able to discern that many times and take care of that before we ever left. So this morning, I would like to approach this word that I've wrote on the board, belief. And I'd like for us to think about our level of belief. Belief is not a liquid. It's not something that we can put in a container and seal it up and keep it in there. But it's something that's very, very important and vital. I've found in my life that belief is something that can highly impact my circumstances, how I function and how I navigate my everyday life. So I would like to begin with my first point. I'd like for us to turn to Mark, the 9th chapter, and notice a familiar passage of Scripture. Some of these things, some Scriptures that I'm going to read this morning have been read earlier in the meeting. It's not because I'm trying to do a summary or anything like that. It's because I feel that the Lord put them on my heart even before all of that. So I'd like to go to Mark, the 9th chapter, and look at verses 23 and 24. And the setting here is that a father had a son that was in serious need. We can maybe discuss and analyze what the specifics were, but it was a serious problem, and he had brought this to his disciples, and they weren't able to execute and deliver what he really was in hopes of getting. He had an expectation. I believe he's had a he had at minimum a fundamental belief. And we get to the point here in verse 23. The need had been presented to Jesus himself. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And then the Father's response gives us an indication of his level of belief. And that's what I'm wanting us to think about this morning, is our level of belief. The Father, not just for the healing of our bodies, but folks, we need belief in a lot of areas of our life. He says here, the Father It says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. The work that was desired to be done was hinging on his level of belief. I have to come to that conclusion because Jesus said, if thou canst believe, then it's something's going to happen. So I'd like to start with my story here. The story started this coming Labor Day weekend. It will start 40 years ago. So it's been a day or two. And down there under the one of those sycamore trees when it was much smaller, I asked this young lady if she would write me back if I wrote her. And so it's been a journey that we've been on ever since that time. I didn't fully understand what I was asking for, and she didn't fully understand what she was responding to. We are very human, both of us, and I didn't know how. Never really thought of it until just very recently, how her belief was going to impact our relationship. There was an area in her life that belief had been drained very, very low. Not in the saints. Not in what the scripture teaches, not in God's abilities, but in relationships, her belief level was way below the ad mark. And I was at minimum, I was vaguely aware. Just like this man that came to Jesus and said, can you help me? And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. So it wasn't just her. It was her mother. And I have appreciated the mother-in-law that she was. But her belief level was very low too. So, as we started on this journey, all men have a instinctive desire and motivation to prove themselves. Mine was faced with some unique challenges, and some of the things that I faced seems like circumstances. You might say, was for me, and sometimes it was against me, and that's the way we're going to find life. I remember, this is going to be very dated as well. I remember when I first got into her family, or, you know, began to this correspondence, and when I would come to visit, and I don't remember just when this happened, but it was early on when a cordless phone was kind of a novel thing. Not a cell phone, but just one that was hooked up to the landline. And her mother was one that carried a cordless phone around all the time. She was a busy lady, and she had lots of responsibilities. So she carried this around in a pocket on her clothing. And I remember we'd had a thunderstorm, and I went out to visit her. And her mother said, you know, she hadn't had this cordless phone very long, and it quit working after the thunderstorm. Lightning had struck close by, and I said, well, Is it okay if I take it apart? So I did. And in the process of that, as I took it apart, the electronics, those of you that know about those kind of things know that in the last 40 years there's been significant changes in that. But back then, most of the components on the circuit board was individual components. It was pretty easy to detect which one was which, identify them, and all of that. They were much simpler. I took this phone apart, and she had kind of said, "Do you really think you might could fix it?" I said, "Well, I don't know until I try." But her confidence in me was very low at that time. And I took it apart, and I found a little diode, those of you that knows what that is, that had just, it had split apart. And my guess is a voltage spike had caused that. And so I thought, it won't hurt anything. I'll find a new one. So I went to a place that is probably no longer in existence anywhere called Radio Shack. I bought a little diode, and I come back and put it in there, soldered it in, and put the phone back on the charger, and it worked. And her belief got a real shot in the arm right there. We will never be able to increase our belief if we don't put ourselves in a place where our belief could be increased. All right, I want you to take that. I just want you to try to start chewing and swallowing on that. So as my story unfolds, I don't know if it was the same phone or another phone, but there was a period of time that elapsed, and maybe it was after we were married. But I was out, surely it wasn't that long. But anyway, I went back out there. I was at her place, and she brought me this phone again. She didn't just make a random comment that her phone had quit. She brought it to me and said, "Do you think you can do something with this?" And I said, "I don't know. What happened?" She says, "It's quit working. I dropped it in a bucket of water." And I said, "I don't know. That doesn't sound good." And I took it apart, and I couldn't find anything. And so long story, the end of that story was that she got a different phone. But I want you to see that there was an accumulation of belief that happened there. And that she went from highly suspicious or highly unbelieving to a point that she handed that to me in confidence. And we will find in life, if we exercise belief, and we may be on ground zero this morning, but if you're on ground zero and you begin to put yourself in a place where belief could be ignited, it could be sparked. I believe, I'm not going to say that it was a random chance or luck or anything like that. I just believe that the Lord helped me to find that. That's why I've looked at so many things that I've been able to solve a problem with in life, and temporal things, mechanical things, and all of that. It's the Lord's blessings that's helped me to do that. But it served another purpose. There's been things that was already there in my character that they didn't know when I came into the relationship. But I'm going to tell you, because I realized that there was a belief level that was below the ad mark, that I needed to have a higher level of integrity than maybe in a different circumstance, in a different situation. And over the years, The cell phone wasn't the only thing. There were many things that I was able to gladly resolve problems for my mother-in-law. It got to the point that I believe she had a very high level of confidence in me. But once we start believing in someone, or we start our belief process in believing who God is and what He can do for us, there are so many things that can be transposed over into other areas of our life. I appreciated her prayers when we began to respond to a call into the ministry. I felt her prayers. And we talked about many things. There were times that she counseled me, and there were times that she asked me questions. I feel like that we had a good working relationship. I feel that at the end of her time here on this earth, that her belief in me had been brought up to a normal level. As a man, as a person of integrity, someone that she could depend on, it had helped to heal some things in her life that was missing and had been damaged. So this morning, as I'm talking to you about belief, I want you to know that we're going to face those circumstances in life where we may feel like our belief may not be measured up to our desires and the things that we need in life. We may be facing a circumstance and it's like, Lord, I don't know. We may actually say to the Lord, Lord, I believe with all I can, You're going to have to help me in the part that seems to be over in the unbelief category. And I know that God is able. He helped this man, didn't He? He accepted his belief level and He delivered the expectation and the desire of this man's heart. Belief will and it should connect with the events and circumstances in our life. It will and it should connect. I work with many people and have worked with many people down through the years that have beliefs that I don't have. Beliefs that there's a conspiracy hiding under every corner. Belief that all the odds are stacked against them. People that believe in just sheer luck. And I believe, myself, I believe, that how you get there is not learning how to have a belief in God. We have to begin somewhere. If we're going to have a steadfast belief and confidence in God that is not uprooted and overthrown in the times of distress, in the times of confrontation on any line, we're going to have to start somewhere and say, Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe that I believe You could help me with this assignment that I have. I believe that You can help me and direct me. I believe that You are in control of the weather. I wonder how many times, because of the advancement of our society and their education process and their ability to predict and all of that, they're always looking for an explanation that excludes God. And I much rather, it's much simpler for my brain to cultivate a belief that God looked down and was willing to smile on us this week. None of the trustees that set the dates for last year, and they've agreed on this third Friday of July as the start date for as long as I can remember. But none of them could have predicted what the weather would be. The last I heard, this summer was going to be hot. And it looks like next week might be. But I believe the Lord chose to smile on us this week. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm cultivating, by the grace of God, the belief I have. I believe that, well, let's go to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Notice another hinge point in belief. This is my, maybe my beginning point I want us to get a hold of, is this belief hinges on us being able to have that confidence in God. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, we find the setting. We're not going to read the whole story. But there was some, I believe it's some blind men. Let's pick up in the 27th verse. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto him, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said, "Yea, Lord." They answered him with a confidence. I don't know what caused them to do. Had they had a healing in the past? Had they had the Lord to work something out for them in the past? I don't know. But I do know this, that they came and followed him to the house, and they were asking him for something. And Jesus said, "Believe ye that I can do this? Do you believe?" I want to ask us a question this morning. Do we believe? What do you believe? In my line of work, when I left to come to camp meeting, there were at least two jobs that had come in that I had been involved in determining the root cause, and the repair we priced to the customer was somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a $8,000 to $10,000 repair on your automobile, but that is significant, at least in my book. And you know, it's important to get it right when you price a repair like that. And you can't sell that very well, and nobody can sell that to me very well, unless there is a level of confidence that comes behind that. Sometimes I get phone calls from people that I know, and they say, "Brother Dan, I got this problem on my car, and I put a fuel pump, I put a spark plug, I put a coil on it." And they go down the list of all they've replaced, and it's still doing the same thing. And they want me to tell them over the phone what to do next. It's not a very good situation, and sometimes I can help, and a lot of times I have to tell them, "I don't know. I need to be able to get my hands on it and do some testing." But you know, Sometimes I wonder if we approach belief like that. Well, I tried this and I tried that and I rubbed this on and I listened to that counsel and I've just done all of this stuff and, well, I wonder if the Lord can do something for me. I want to challenge us that He would be, you know, excuse me for being relating to my everyday life, but we have parts suppliers, and one of them, some of y'all know that, most of y'all know this place called O'Reilly's. Well, on the commercial side, selling to the shops, they say their motto, their logo is they want to be the first call. The first call. They want us to call them first. They have all their price match guarantees and all that. They want us to call them first. You know where the Lord wants to be in our call queue? He wants to be the first call. He wants us to reach out. He wants our belief level to be full enough, maybe even overflowing, to where we don't think of something different. We look to Him first. And I want to be in a, Lord help me, myself, personally, to be in a better place than these two instances here was, particularly the first, the man that came with the son. And he was beseeching the Lord. I don't know what had been done before. He took him to the disciples and that didn't work. But maybe he had tried other things. I don't know. But he come to Jesus and he was pleading for help. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe. So I'm just asking you this morning to check your levels. You know, we're going to go after maybe this service, but ultimately tomorrow, we're going to be facing everyday life. I'm supposed to be there tomorrow morning to go back. I don't know what's happened altogether since I've been gone, but I'm going back to solve more problems. And I need the Lord to go with me. I want Him to be my first call. I want Him to be there. I want my belief and my confidence in Him to be strong enough that I'm not wishing that I could rub a rabbit's foot or pull something out of the hat. I don't operate that way by the grace of God. I want to take the Lord with me. I used to work with a man that... He had a lot of trouble, it seemed like, on the job in the work that he did. And he was always talking about the car is having a bad spirit. And he just one of those things. He didn't have a confidence in the Lord. And he felt that, like the cars had a bad spirit and they was against him. And his solution and the things he was always talking about doing is he's going to hang a cross on something. Lord, help us to have a belief system in the Lord that's based on something solid and not some kind of superstition. I want us to be confident that what we're doing brings the results. I believe it does. Now I'd like to turn to Mark. I want to move to my second point. I would like for us to go to Mark, the second chapter. And I believe this has been read before. Beginning in verse 4. It says, and when they could not come nigh unto him. This is the folks that took their friend to Jesus and took up the roof. When they couldn't come unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was a certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, why do this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus had perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? So to tell the story in my own words. I often get the picture in my mind of these men coming and clambering up on the roof. I don't know of any way to easily maneuver a bed, a cot, a sleeping bag with a immovable person in it from the ground up to a roof. I imagine there was quite a little ruckus getting him up on the roof. And them tramping, if somebody got on this roof and was coming over to the center and Jesus was here ministering to this morning, all of us would be looking and wondering, what are they doing? Who's on the roof? There would be everybody's attention. There was probably dust and cobwebs and everything else coming down as they come across. And they begin, if somebody commenced to taking up the roof here, somebody would go out and say, hold on just a minute. Don't do that. We'll let you in. But these men, I don't know, people was not responding to their desire, his desire to get to Jesus. And I want to ask you, where was their confidence? Where was their faith level? Was it empty? I'm going to tell you, there's times that I've approached things and people have turned their shoulder to me. They've made me feel unwelcome and all that. And it was like, you know, it don't really matter. I don't really have to buy this anyway. I don't have to go there. It's not the end of the world, and I just go on. I find something different. But these men, they were intent on getting their friend before Jesus. And I don't believe that there was any question in their minds that if they could get him in the presence of the Lord, that there would be something miraculous take place. I don't believe that it was necessary for Jesus to say to this man or his friends, if thou canst believe. They put their faith into action. They put their belief. They were in a position in their belief level. You know, some of you that's married today may have started a relationship where there was a different level of belief than there was when I started. And you didn't have to climb up on the roof and take the roof panels up. I'm not saying I did on everything, but there were some things I climbed up on the roof for. These men believed, and they put the rubber to the road. This healing that happened was a visible demonstration. Let's read the rest of it here. It says, whither is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? He had just said, thy sins be forgiven thee. To these people standing around, did they believe? Absolutely not. They didn't believe anything that Jesus was saying. They were there as spectators and to obstruct the things that Jesus was trying to do. And the people that really believed had to climb up on the roof. But it didn't hinder them. And Lord, help me that my belief would be filled to the level that though there's obstacles and obstructions, I'll climb up on the roof. Yes. I'll take the panels up. I'll let my friend down before Jesus. I'll do everything I can to put them in the place where Jesus can speak the words of healing, of blessing, of comfort that needs to be spoken. So Jesus said, what's easier to do? Now let me ask you, what's harder for you to do? To tell somebody their sins are forgiven or pronounce them healed? Are you able to do either one? I'm not. I can't forgive someone's sins. And I can't. It's not my touch that would heal anybody. And Jesus says, which one's easier to do? We could ask, if you get the same message by saying, which one's harder to do? He said, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. You know what he was saying to them? It took the same power, it took the same belief to forgive this man his sins as it did to make him stand up and walk. Now, when he stands up and walks, you can see that. You can get a hold of that. I'm thankful for every time the Lord gives us a visible demonstration of what it means to really believe. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth from all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I want to ask us a question here. If you'd have been there, and your belief would have been really low at that point, but at least you was in a place where Jesus was, you think your belief would have been filled up a little bit? Mine would have been. Mine would have been increased. Those ones that criticized and said, who do you think you are trying to forgive sins? They didn't have anything to say because Jesus had raised this man up, and consequently, they had to accept that Jesus had been able to forgive his sins. At least that's the way my brain works. They had to accept it because Jesus spoke to both of those needs. It should be connected to real life experiences and circumstances and events. I believe. I believe that the Lord has led us individually to where we are today if you're endeavoring to please the Lord. I believe it's God's will that you're here today. I believe that the Lord has helped me to be a son-in-law and a husband and a father that I've been. It's not because that I'm so wonderful. It's because the Lord has helped us. I believe that. Yesterday, I wasn't able to be here. Maybe not very many people know. Well, I could have been here, but I chose not to be, and I'll tell you why. I had some classmates call me earlier in the spring and said, we're going to have a class reunion. I'd like for you to come. So I went. And I enjoyed visiting with some of the folks that I hadn't seen since that day in 1984. But there's one that wasn't there. He lived across the street from me, played in my yard, ate my mama's cookies, went with us a couple times at least to Myrtle, to the campgrounds, to the camp meeting, spent the night at our house, witnessed family worship. And we had a good relationship going through school, especially in grade school. He wasn't there. I've got his phone number. I tried to text him, call him on the way down, and no response. And I got some down there told me he lost his wife a few years ago and to illness. And he's turned to drinking. Said he kind of lost his mind and went crazy. That's what they said to me. You know, I believe that the Lord can help that man. I really believe that. And I believe that the Lord can help us. And I want to see it. I would love to see him here. I would like to see us with a stronger belief in the power of God to change lives. Spiritually, mentally, physically. I'd like for us to have a stronger belief. I don't know where your level is this morning. You know, sometimes when we check the level, we have a little sight glass in the side of a tank, and the fluid needs to be up maybe halfway to some kind of mark that says full on it. Sometimes we have a little rod or a stick we poke down a hole, and sometimes we take a plug out and we fill it up until it runs out. There's all kinds of different measures that we use to check the levels. And I don't know what it needs to be this morning for you to check your level of belief. But I want us to check it this morning. We're going to need it. Before this time next year, we're going to need it. And I want to have enough on hands. You know, one of the most difficult things in my job is to go and tell somebody they need something they've already replaced. It happens from time to time. Somebody just replace a specific part. And I go through my process of discerning what's wrong. And I tell them, I know this part looks like it's brand new, but it's defective. It needs one. And when you go and tell somebody that, it's like, I don't believe it. I just put one of those on. You know, this is point number three. Facing unbelief is a very substantial obstacle that is a reality. I've faced it on many different fronts in my life, and I believe you will too, if you haven't already. I'd like to go back over to Matthew in the 9th chapter. And I want to notice what is said here in Matthew. We'll begin maybe. No, I'm sorry. That's not where I want to go. I want to go to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. I'd like to read the first 4 verses. It says here, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? You know, I've had people that say, I don't believe what you're telling me is right. In fact, I think you're lying. And I believe that so strongly, my unbelief in you is so strong that I believe, and not only I believe, but I'm going to put it into action. I'm coming to get my car. I'm going to take it to somebody that knows what they're doing. I know y'all aren't mechanics maybe, but I've met that more than once in my life. You know, in this crowd, there's probably somebody here that your belief level is low. I don't mean that accusatory. I want to encourage you to fill it up. And there may be somebody here that says, I just simply don't believe. I don't believe anything that guy is saying. I believe he's trying to preach at me. I don't know what's going on in your head, but I believe that unbelief is one of the most fierce things that we'll ever face. And this scripture helps me to understand how I'm going to deal with that. He said, what advantage is there to being raised, knowing the truth, having the Bible read to you? That's the way I grew up. My parents read the scripture to me. They read the Bible stories. They lived the life before me. What advantage is that? I'll tell you what advantage it's been. It's helped me start out on second base instead of home plate. It's given me a foundation that I consider incredibly valuable in my life. But I want you to know, if you didn't have that, you can still begin to cultivate belief in God and what He can do. This third verse says, for what if some did not believe? Is it possible that their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? When we're in a circumstance where nobody believes us, maybe in a professional line, maybe nobody believes what you believe. Nobody else believes that God's hand is over the weather. Just using that for an example. No one else believes that that the Lord gave you traveling mercy. They just applaud you for being a good driver or having a good automobile or whatever. I believe that the Lord does look over us when we travel. And if we choose to not, if we're in the face of somebody that don't believe any of that, does that mean that faith in God don't work anymore? I believe the Lord can take care of me. I want to be in His will. And I want to be willing to be in His will. And I believe He can take care of me. And even if those around me don't believe, it doesn't change the potential of God's power. But it does have an impact on us. You know how many times I've went back and double checked my diagnosis? Somebody says, I just replaced that. It can't be bad. I just put that on. Maybe I've even taken them out and shown them the steps I took to prove that it was bad. Been there and done that. But you know what happens right then? I've spent extra time. And if I could have went forward with a repair, they would have been on the road quicker. You know what happens when we're faced with unbelief? 2 points I want you to get here off of this. One is, it doesn't negate what the Lord can do. And the second one is, it will impact the expediency of the result. You understand what I'm saying? So let's take that a little bit farther. The writer said here, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but let every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Lord, help us to be able to be an overcomer when we're judged. When somebody says, I just don't believe it that way, I don't believe that that's what I should do or what you should do. You know, I can't make you do anything. And I want to be real careful about telling you, you can't make me do anything. Because I don't want to cultivate a carnal attitude in any shape. But I want you to know, by the grace of God, my faith is solid in the Lord. And if people around me don't believe, it doesn't change what I believe that God can do. It will change, maybe, how quickly the Lord's able to respond. You remember the dream that Daniel had? I'm not going to turn and read that. Maybe he would ask for an answer, and in his vision, I believe that I've got the story right. The answer was postponed for an extended period of time because an evil force had resisted that. Unbelief, plainly put, is an evil force. An unbelief will damage something. It may not overpower the power of God, but it'll have an impact. Unbelief has an effect, just like belief does. Unbelief is like having a leak in our reservoir. One of the things that I've fixed many, many times down through the years are leaks. Some leaks you can see because they drip on your driveway. Some leaks you don't see, like a leak in a tire. You don't see that unless you're parked in a mud hole. Well, there's other leaks that you won't see either. And there may be leaks in belief here this morning that I can't see. But the Lord does. And there are some procedures that we do. Anybody here know what natural vacuum is? I'll give you a small insight. If you have a container that is at ambient temperature and a liquid in that, and if that liquid and the container, everything is at ambient temperature, and you seal it off at ambient temperature, and the ambient temperature outside drops because the molecules in the liquid constrict, there's a natural vacuum that's created. Now you say, that's splitting frog hairs. And it kind of is. It's a really, really small amount of vacuum. But you know, the automobiles today use that technology to check for a leak. They really do. And while you're snoozing in the house and your car is cooling down outside, the computer is checking for a leak. They can detect leaks less than 20 thousandths of an inch. Now, I don't know what the Lord might put his finger on this morning, but you might have a leak. You might have a leak that I don't know. Your belief level may be low today because of some interjection of unbelief, because of an attack from the enemy, because of disappointments, because of heavy burdens, because you feel that you've done everything you know to do. I want to ask us today to check our level. What's our belief level? Jesus was hindered, was he not? In Matthew chapter 13 and 58, he said here, and he did not many mighty works there because of, it didn't say because he had run out of steam. It didn't say because his power had fizzled out. It didn't say because that he had healed so many people over there in Jerusalem and other places that his quota had been met. It didn't say anything like that. It said he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That's an attack on belief. It'll cause leaks. Some of them might be gushers. They might leave a trail. sometimes we get things in to our place of business that you can follow them from the road all the way into the building because there's a leak. And maybe you've had a traumatic experience this morning. I want you to know that the most important, I don't know, I've got to be careful about that. One of the most valuable things that you can take with you from any meeting, any camp meeting, is a high level of belief. It's going to be something that's going to sustain you when all the fiery darts are coming against you. It's going to be something that's going to help you resist when somebody says, I don't think so. Not in my lifetime. I just replaced that. We can have confrontations in so many ways. You better do something. You might die. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I'd like to read to you a quote that I found. Don't know this man, and not sure that I can even pronounce his name, but I thought what was quoted of him was good. So I'll read it to you. It says, unbelief and contempt drive Christ out of the heart as they did out of his own country. Faith seems to put the almighty power of God into the hands of men. Think about that a minute. Faith seems to put the almighty power of God into the hands of men, whereas unbelief appears to tie up even the hands of the Almighty. What did I say? Unbelief is a fierce obstacle. It's going to cause a leak. It's going to cause a problem. It's one of the most fierce things we're going to come against that's going to want to overthrow our belief. I'd like to end with a verse, last part of Luke, the 18th chapter and the 8th verse. You probably know what it says. Jesus' words. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? If he come today, where's your belief level? Do you really believe he has active input into our life? Or do you believe you got things pretty well under control yourself? I know this, that belief will change how you operate. I believe that our marriages are something that's worth working for. It's worth investing in. And I invest in it by the grace of God. I believe there are many things temporally. I believe there are several things I believe in. I believe our faith and confidence in God is worth exercising and investing in. And I want to keep it full. In fact, I want it to be overflowing enough that it'll spill over on somebody else. Somebody else will say, if you can do it, I can too. If you can depend on God for that part of your life, young people, ask the Lord to direct you when you're making those huge decisions. I did. And I'm still here. Depend on the Lord. Ask Him to give you directions when you approach that young lady. When you make that decision for your career path or your education path or whatever it is in life, believe the Lord wants to have a little input. It's not unattached or disconnected. It's very much something God wants to help us with. I desire your prayers. I want to be full of faith. I want to be able to help hold other people's hands up when that time comes. And I want you to help me. You pray for me.